Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're doing okay. I am doing fine. I can't complain. And let me tell you a few things that have been going on in my life. It's been a week since the San Antonio Spurs were eliminated from the NBA Finals. They lost to the New York Knicks. And living here in San Antonio, it's been kind of rough. We were so happy when we won that one game. You should have heard all the people setting off fireworks and even shooting their guns and cars honking their horns, and then it looked like we were going to win game two. We had a 29-point lead and wasn't meant to be. The Knicks were a team of destiny. They hadn't won the championship in 53 years. And I'm not going to harp too much on where the blame should go. Suffice it to say that in order to win a championship, the Spurs are going to have a different mindset. And whether or not that includes getting some additional players or losing some, that remains to be seen. And I have faith, complete faith in the Spurs organization that they'll make the right decision, regarding whoever should go and who should join the team so that the chemistry is better, because they were hot and cold. They were really hot, sinking baskets, 3-point shots, and they couldn't miss. And then they went cold for whatever reason, they only have themselves to blame. But I think they far exceeded expectations getting to the finals, going through the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were the defending champions. And they can be very proud of that, being the Western Conference champions. And I don't think it's going to be easy either. Not easy next year going up against the Thunder. But I hear the Lakers are going to possibly let LeBron James go. And imagine if he joins the Golden State Warriors. That means they would have LeBron, and he's 41, but he's still averaging like 20-plus points a game. And Steph Curry, Draymond Green. And I don't know who else they got. They might have like one other superstar I just can't think of right now. But I think that it would be okay. And I think that would be a wise move for LeBron, in my opinion. I don't think he should stay with the Lakers anymore. He won a championship back in 2020, but I think it's time for him to move on, He can stay in that area there. And I think he wants to win one more championship. He's got four already. With five, he would definitely raise the question, or better put, him being considered the GOAT would be a little bit more tangible, so to speak, if he had five instead of four championships. He's the point leader. He's been to the NBA Finals 10 times, won four, lost six. But I was watching Michael Jordan play the other day, and I don't really think there'll be anyone as good as him. And he was always great in clutch time, making those important shots, And Jalen Brunson, he had a heck of a series, and he just couldn't miss sometimes. And 3-point shots or driving to the basket or easy layup, it seemed like he could get through all of the Spurs. And perhaps there was a little bit of bias there on behalf of the referees, maybe not making some calls. But it went both ways for both teams. And that's what happens when you allow some people, the referees, whether it's basketball or another sport, to decide the momentum of a game. You can't really invest all your emotion and money sometimes one way or the other, because I've seen it happen too many times. That's why I kind of keep sports at a distance. I don't usually watch it on TV, but my wife and I, we were watching the Spurs. My wife was interested because all of a sudden there was NBA Finals fever in San Antonio, and it was a really tangible feeling. And if we'd won, it would have been incredible, but it wasn't meant to be. The New York Knicks hadn't won a championship in 53 years, and they take a drink. And so I'm looking forward to the next season for the Spurs. You know, I read about them. That's what I do because I don't like watching too much sports on TV because number one, the referees have a tendency to shift the momentum against the team that I'm supporting. I've seen that before in the past. And I know other people feel the same way because I've talked with other people. And I just can't stand, don't like losing. I don't think anyone does. But I like reading about the teams afterwards, whether basketball, Major League Baseball, football. I like reading in detail what happened. And that's the only way that I can really handle the competitive side of it, you know, and sometimes the stuff that goes on with the refereeing, which I don't agree with also. And I usually say something towards the referees and then, you know how it is. Anyway, so personally, I think even though I know the Spurs organization is going to make the right decision, I think they need to find someone to play alongside of Wemby, who's tall and good, a good player. I think it was up to me. I would trade De'Aaron Fox and try to get another big player like Wemby. However, in order to get someone, I believe they're looking into someone, I can't remember the name, who plays with the Brooklyn Nets currently. And just like Tim Duncan and David Robinson were the Twin Towers, and then Duncan later on teamed up with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. I think we need another organizational player, you know, to go alongside of Wemby for years to come. And I don't think De'Aaron Fox is that player, although I believe that he helped them during the regular season to win more than 60 games. And I forget what he averaged per game. It was around 20 points per game. But I've seen it before with some players in the playoffs and the finals. They can't come up big in clutch time, you know. And it's unfortunate. I know Wemby made some mistakes, you know. And but you can't put the whole responsibility on his shoulders, and he's only 22 years old. And I mean, he's been playing great with all the points per game and rebounds and steals and blocks. But someone else, I think, and you never know who's going to step up in crunch time. So the Spurs, they can score, no doubt about it. They outscored the New York Knicks like 74% of the time they were leading, but couldn't get it done. And as I've mentioned, you can point the finger one way or the other, but I do believe that trading De'Aaron Fox for another all-star caliber player would be good. However, if he stays with the team, I'm okay with that also. Like I mentioned, he was instrumental in helping the Spurs to have such a great season and get through the Oklahoma City Thunder to the NBA Finals. I know he was playing on a sore right foot, so perhaps it had something to do with it. I think it was game four, when the Spurs had gone ahead by 29 points, and then he knocked the ball away, and there was only a few seconds left, and he sprinted, he got the ball, and OG Anunoby came up, and Fox went for the layup. If he'd been thinking, like most of the experts that were narrating the game and other players too said that he should have dribbled out the ball and maybe gone to the free throw line, you know, with maybe 7 seconds left. And if he had sunk those free throws, then they would have been up by two. But he should have known better that he should have thought he could outrun Anunoby. But Anunoby was right there with him, and he should have sensed it, that he was going to block the layup. And later on, when he made like three mistakes, that was one mistake. And then he fouled Josh Hart, who brought the ball from past the center court line back into the Knicks zone, which was, I think, a court violation. He fouled him. I don't know why. And maybe he was thinking that if they went to the free throw line. But no, actually, they wouldn't have gone to the free throw line because the team had a foul they could give up. Then also, when the Knicks had 5.7 seconds left and Brunson got the ball to try the three-point shot, Wimby was right there to try to block it, you know, putting his huge arms up. But Fox decided to double-team him and leave his man, and Obi was his man. And as some of you may have known, or some of you may know, that Anobi just went right to the rim, uncontested, hit that ball in and win them that game. And then really that was the series right there. The whole series turned around. If the Spurs had won that fourth game and tied it up 2 games apiece, it would have been different. Guarantee it would have been different. But that's the way it goes sometimes. Some players, they can't handle crunch time. And what can you do other than just keep trying hard? You know, do your best all the time. Listen to your coaches and rely on your fellow team members. Listen, you know, do the right thing. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the Spurs. I'm going to take a drink. Now let me move on to another subject, the movie Disclosure Day. Some of you may have heard me before in the past talking on my show. The subjects include near-death experiences, God, the universe, angels, life out there, extraterrestrial phenomena, abduction. So Disclosure Day, I highly recommend it. I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't seen it yet. However, I will say these things. Disclosure Day is just exactly what it says. It is assuming, of course, there's no concrete proof that the governments of the world, including the U.S. government, have been covering up that there is life elsewhere in the universe. Can I take a drink? Sentient beings like us, living on other planets, in this galaxy and other galaxies, who have visited us in the past and are currently visiting us and around the world, including the United States again, places like Roswell, oh, there's quite a few different ones where they've recovered alien spacecraft and bodies and just haven't told the public because they think the public, that we can't handle the truth. It talks about, I guess I can say this, about men and women who have worked in those black operations, covert cover-ups, and later on came out to tell their secrets that they were supposed to keep secret. And the story is all the same, that indeed, yes, the U.S. and other governments around the world have recovered extraterrestrial spacecraft and ET bodies. And we know that there is life out there, but they haven't formally told the world or the general public. And this movie is geared towards coming out and letting the world know that we're not alone. And my friends, it'll be such a bombshell revelation. It'll change the world, especially when we know that they're out there and they're waiting to make contact with us, and that we have to give up our fighting, killing, warring ways, then slowly I think the change will come where we could forget about our petty conflicts and focus instead on going boldly where no man has gone before. And indeed, if we make contact with the ETs that are out there, and I've heard that there are as many as 50 to 60 species that have made contact with us before in the past and are currently interacting with us, walking amongst us. They have the technology to alter themselves genetically to resemble human beings. Of course, that takes a great deal of intelligence. And they are stationed strategically in places around the world to try to save us from our fate After 9/11, I think they probably wondered if we were going to destroy ourselves, because that was just a horrendous example of just how cruel human beings can be towards each other, flying an airplane, two airplanes into the World Trade Centers and killing approximately 30,000 people that day. Excuse me, 3,000 people that day. And then in the Pentagon, crashing one plane into the Pentagon and another Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. It's a blatant disregard for human life. No love there. Hate. I suppose they thought their rationale was doing it for God. Some of those people, they believe that God wants us to kill each other, and that's wrong. And they'll find out if they don't accept that now on Judgment Day, and there will be a Judgment Day for every single human being on Earth when we die, and we're all scheduled to die at one time in the future, then we will see what kind of ripple effects we caused in our lives to affect other people, either positively or negatively, with love or with hate, with hope or despair. And those people, I mean, we can't really point the finger at them. We've been guilty of similar atrocities in the past. Think of the retaliation that we did against Afghanistan and all, not just the men, but a lot of women and children who were killed by our bombs, who we can't bomb discreetly, accurately without taking innocent lives. And it's been that way in all the wars in the past, right? So many innocent lives. Millions of people that died in World War II. We just celebrated June the 6th, Normandy, and the Allied troops who invaded Normandy at the different beaches, and the machine gun fire that they endured, and the bodies that were heaped up, ridden with machine gun bullets, men dead, dying, Reminds me of, in the movie Forrest Gump, when they're attacked by the North Vietnamese there at the end of the movie, and they're getting fired upon with bullets and mortars. And so Forrest Gump runs, and then he realizes he's left part of his squad platoon back there, and he goes one by one, brings them back injured, badly injured, dying. And then he finds Lieutenant Dan. He's lost both of his legs. He brings him back, and then he goes out to get Bubba, like with the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company that he later forms. And as he's carrying Bubba, he puts him down. Bubba asks him, "Forrest, why did this happen? Why do men kill each other?" "Because they don't have the intellect. They're not smart enough to resolve their differences peacefully, talking with each other." And so it has been. We're seeing, my friends, a slow evolution of human beings, specifically men, who have been oppressing women over the centuries. They've only just recently begun to get their rights. So that's logical, right? Oppressing women and keeping them under their thumbs when they know in their heart of hearts, in their minds of minds, their mind of minds, that women are truly the best leaders in the world, better than men, far better, because they raise men from babies to boys to men, and they have to handle everything. And most times, change their diapers, feed them, carry them around. Men don't do that too often. They help them grow up. They teach them things they need to know. And then in some countries around the world, the men turn around after all that and slap them in the face, so to speak, and then treat them worse than animals in some cases and oppress them. Those same women, mothers who raised them, all because they're a member of the Beard Club, and they think that's the ultimate growth. And it's not that, my friends. Love is the way, and everyone should love their mother and father. And tomorrow's Father Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. But mothers, they're awesome. What they have to endure. Some are single mothers raising families, worthy of great respect and honor. The Bible said, honor thy mother and thy father. Well, I know some people don't believe in the Bible, especially over there in the Middle East, but they should. That is a logical thing to do, to honor your mother. You wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for your mother, right? Fathers probably get by without a father. A lot of people do. I'm going to take a drink. Getting back to what I was saying about Disclosure Day, it was a pretty amazing movie. And Steven Spielberg is an excellent director. That's totally excellent, you know? But, my friends, as good as that movie is, and as much as it'll make you think outside the box and realize that, you know, we're being lied to, that indeed there is life out there and they're not sharing that with us, it is still just a movie and therefore not real. Fantasy. Actors getting paid millions of dollars. Yes, it's a good theme, no doubt about it, but reality versus fantasy. Which one are you more geared up in, so to speak? Nowadays, the human race is kind of obsessed with fantasy. In the movies, you have these violent action movies, actors getting paid millions of dollars. But when the real thing happens, people shooting each other in real life, oh my God. Oh, most times it's not you, someone else, you know, but when it's us, then we take notice. Which one are you more involved with, my friends, fantasy or reality? If you came upon a car accident and you need to pull somebody from a burning wreckage, could you do that? Or if you are in an active shooter situation, would you know how to react? Fantasy, reality. Which one are you more involved with, a part of? Now, if you really want to see something that will convince you, anybody with a logical, rational mind, without a doubt, 100% certain that there is life out there, that we are interacting with them, that we're not alone in the universe, I recommend a movie/documentary. If you're interested, if you want to learn, if you want to do just a little bit more research, to aid your understanding of a particular subject. And of course, learning more is always beneficial, and it behooves us to get as much information as we can about a particular subject, because the learning never stops, my friends. No matter how old you get, we're still constantly learning, and should be. We don't come to a point and say, I know everything, you listen to me, and I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you how to behave, how to be. No, conversations with people who are evolving their souls on their journeys, their life journeys, should be a sharing of ideas and beliefs. Not, I'm telling you, this is the way it is. You know, the Bible says this. Well, if you want to believe 100% of the Bible, that's up to you. You are entitled to your opinion. If you want to go to war and fight about it, like people have done in the past, over religions, disagreeing, and that's what it all comes down to. We just don't disagree. We just don't agree. We disagree. We can't see eye to eye on some subjects. And people shut their minds. They say, that's it. Don't want to hear anymore. Well, the thing about the Bible, and I respect it greatly. I think it's the best account of divine intervention the world has ever known. However, it is still just a book, and the men that wrote the Bible, yes, they were inspired by God, but you can be inspired by God, the Creator also. I have been inspired by God, and you can be inspired by other books as well. It's not like God was looking over their shoulders and saying, write this. Although automatic writing suggests that perhaps God, the Creator, does just that, where you are in touch with the divine, so you do like what you think you hear. But for me, I think the main thing is the Bible doesn't provide me enough details. I have so many unanswered questions, and so I had to look elsewhere. And I read other books, and I asked questions. I watched videos on television, experiences that people had. And more than anything else, my friends, I put my faith in my fellow human beings and know sometimes what they're telling me is the truth, and I believe them. Yes, there are some charlatans out there, people pulling hoaxes, trying to make money or get fame and fortune, you know, those go together, those two words. But for the most part, people who have had a near-death experience are for real. You know, like one man just came to mind, his name is Bruce Van Natta. Bruce Van, B-A-N, Natta, N-A-T-T-A. Here is a man who used to work with semi-trucks and repairing them in the engines. And one day he was getting ready to go home, and his co-worker asked him if he would take a look at the engine of this one semi-truck that was running and see if he could identify where an oil spill was coming from. So he crawled under the truck. And it had been running for quite a while, and it had been up on these safety jacks. And so when he got underneath there, he called for his co-worker to turn the engine off that he'd identify where the spill was coming from. But when his co-worker got up into the cab, he shifted the weight of the truck, and it came off the jacks, and the axle landed right in the stomach area of Bruce Van Natta. And all of a sudden, he had 5 tons, over 10,000 pounds of weight, crushing his abdominal area down to the spine. And he said he heard the crunch of the 5 tons of metal axle hitting the concrete underneath his spine. And he doesn't know why he did it, but he said, "Help me, Lord," twice. And then his heart stopped. He said he heard it going, it was racing, and then it went bum, 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 bum. Stopped beating, and then boom, his spirit left his body, and he was up in the ceiling looking down. He saw a couple of angels, and I think it's because he asked for help, and they had their hands on the area. He got pulled out. He pulled himself out from underneath there after his co-worker jacked the truck back up. And so after many operations and much pain and healing, he's better today. But what a story. That 3 times he came back down to his body. The pain was just too much. He went back up to his spirit, the real him, up in the ceiling. And was going down a tunnel a couple of times. And then they had called the co-worker had called the local firefighters, volunteers, and they'd come out there. And one woman who saved his life, was very instrumental in saving his life, she didn't give up on him. The rest said, "Well, he's dead, you know, he died." But she didn't give up on him, and she was slapping him in the face, boosting out to come back, come back. Gently slapping him in the face until he said, when he was going through the tunnel a couple of times, going towards the light in the distance. Does anyone know where that light is? Over there, some world of light in our solar system? Well, good guess. And he heard that. And each time he heard that, he went back into his body. And finally, the last time she said, looked at him when his eyes opened and said, "Bruce Van Natta, you're on the verge of life and death. You have something to live for." And then he thought of his family and his children. So he had heard God's voice say something to him earlier before that. And it said, if you want to live, you're going to have to fight. And it's going to be a hard fight. And indeed, he made it. He fought and he survived. But that's just one example of someone who's not fooling around, not lying, you know. He told the truth. That's what happened to him. And we have to believe make the world a better place, my friends. You have to believe in some of these people. I know it's scary and it's taboo in some places, and some people are just satisfied with going on with their lives and making money and raising their families, but there is more to that. Don't you feel the call of the soul, just like the call of the wild when I take a drink? It's all part of your spiritual development, my friend. And so is also knowing that there is life out there elsewhere in the universe, and they're just waiting for us to join the intergalactic community. These brothers and sisters in spirit are out there in different bodies of different shapes and sizes, different colored skin, different colored hair, different texture of skin, different eyes, many different shapes and colors of eyes. It's incredible what the creator of the universe has done. And we're all kind of like microcosms of the universe, evolving to benefit the growth of the creator of the universe who started it all with the Big Bang, when the universe began forming itself one solar system at a time, and then after so many solar systems, one galaxy at a time. And here we are in a galaxy many billions of years and miles from, light years, I should say, and miles from the center of the universe. And we're in a spiral arm, the Milky Way galaxy. Did you know that even before our galaxy was created, even before we existed, before the dust and rock started swirling around and forming a sun and planets and moons, that there were some species, and there are some species out there that had already been traveling around the universe for millions of years. And they're out there now waiting for us to join them. But unfortunately, we are a very violent species. Think of all the wars we've had, just to name a few of them. The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the War of 1812, well, that's before the Civil War, the Civil War, the World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm, the Gulf War, and now we've got the Iran War, the Ukraine War. We just can't stop our violence. I'm going to take a drink. Why do you think that is, my friends? Why have we killed millions of people? What is the benefit of that? War. What's it good for? Remember that song? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. It's friend only to the undertaker. Yeah. War. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. It ruins the lives of people. But I've got some good news to tell you in reference to that, my friends. This world we're living on is a very, very, very hard school of learning. We're living on a planet with animals who eat each other. It's part of the ecosystem. And then there's Mother Nature, who can be very violent. Last night, we had lightning bolts landing around here in our neighborhood, close by. Huge, terrifying, nerve-wracking lightning bolts landing, hitting the ground, so it seemed, close by, thunder. Then there could be earthquakes sometimes, or tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes exploding, tsunamis. And then you go out on the freeway, and 50,000 people a year in the United States alone die in car accidents. There's diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. Don't forget to drink your daily recommended amount of water, my friends. It'll help keep those diseases at bay. Put your ego aside. Think outside the box. Learn from other people like I have learned from other people. And so if we knew without a doubt that there was life out there in the universe, just waiting for us to join that intergalactic community where they could share their technology and we could become the star travelers like them, like in Star Trek, or they could truly teach us how to cure diseases. You know, we don't know how to cure cancer, heart disease, or diabetes, but they could tell us how, because they are super intelligent. You know, any sentient being that can travel around the space in space at a very high rate of speed, going from one place to another, warping time space, traveling interdimensionally, is worthy of listening to, And if they've been alive, if their civilizations have been alive longer than ours, then definitely we can learn from them, because they're not too different from us. I mean, they're humanoid, and we can learn how to live in peace and harmony. There is no good reason why anyone should die at the hands of another person. It all comes down to free will. We have free will, right? That's why God, number one reason when God got us together before sending us to be born on this planet, God said, the creator, mother and father God, who are co-creator gods, not the creator of the universe, but beings like us. They lived lives on planets like this one in their soul's evolution. And they told us before we were born, number one thing, you have free will. And if you want to change anything, you can pray. Now, if it's in accordance with their will, it can happen. It can be done. Otherwise, you have free will, and that's what we find where a lot of the problem lies within having that free will. Even the free will to kill each other, but ultimately, if you take someone's life against their free will, then that's a violation of their free will. And you'll have to pay the karmic debt for that in a future lifetime. And oh, yes, that will happen, guaranteed. Take it from the Reverend Blake Ruby. There will be a judgment day, and you will be standing in front or kneeling or lying prostrate in front of the Mother and Father God, and you will be held accountable for every single action here on earth. Our lives are being recorded. Can I take a drink? I know you've heard of the life review. Well, how else do you think we have a life review? Because every second is being recorded. I tell you no lie. It's 100% the truth. Every second is being recorded. Every interaction you have with another human being is being recorded. Everything you do and have done has been recorded, my friends. I promise you, this is true. Even right now, me standing here in the back patio, talking on my phone, on my radio show, and you listening is being recorded. Guaranteed. 100% certain. You have to believe that. Of course, you don't have to because you have free will, but logic, my friends, logic will set you free. It's like, think about all the life here on Earth, right? I was watching a show, Survivor Man, from way back in the early 2000s. I enjoy him, Les Stroud. Great man. And he went out. He was one of the first survivor people. He'd go out for a week or 10 days, live in the jungle or maybe in Costa Rica, Grenada, the Amazon jungle. Did you know that there are 2.5 million different species of insects in the Amazon jungle? And there's more than that all around the world. And think of all these different types of fish and crustaceans and jellyfish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes. Over 30,000 birds and reptiles, each 10,000 different species, different types, different feathers, different sizes, different lengths, different colors, all beautifully made with hearts that beat independently of their will, like us. Wonderfully made. And then over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals. If all that life happened by accident here in this world, logically, it happened by accident on any one of those new planets they're discovering each and every day with our highly advanced space telescopes. And they've discovered over 5,000 planets so far and like maybe 3,000, 4,000 solar systems. In fact, my friends, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Every single star in the evening sky that you see, it's actually a sun and a solar system with planets that revolve around that sun. Every single one. Some have nine, which is the number of the universe, number nine. Some may lose one or gain one during that process, or in the life of a particular solar system, and eventually the sun may go supernova or nova, become a nebula. No, excuse me, what were we thinking of? There are certain things the sun can do. You know, it can become a black hole, neutron star. Supernova involves other stars that are close by, and nova is different. Anyway, so it's safe to say that ultimately one day our sun could extinguish itself or blow up, you know, and then of course all the planets would become ice cold within 8 minutes. That's how long it takes the sunlight from the sun to come here on Earth, and that all the other planets do would eventually become dead, cold, lifeless rocks, you know, floating in space, maybe even float out of space into interstellar space. You know, I'm not sure if the gravity would still hold them within this particular solar system, because the sun not only provides heat and light, but it also provides the energy for the planets to revolve around itself and also rotate them on their axes. Isn't that amazing? That's a dual kind of power there. When you think about it, not only revolve planet Earth around itself, the sun also makes the Earth rotate on its axis at about 600 miles an hour at a 23 degree tilt on its axis. Amazing. And so going back to what I was saying about Disclosure Day, I'd highly recommend it. But that documentary I was telling you about, I was getting to the name, I apologize. It's called Unacknowledged. And it will convince you without a doubt that they're out there, that they have made contact with our planet before in the past and are currently doing so, that the people that used to work in these black covert operations like Area 51, S4, they're getting billions of dollars each year, and it has been that way. I don't know how. The president doesn't even know. And especially ever since Roswell, you know, when they recovered the spacecraft and then changed the story, kind of makes me mad, you know. Just think, we could have had clean energy, free energy, if we had released. I know it's hard just after World War II, you know, not trusting anybody, but that's all part of being a violent species. You don't trust your neighbor, you know. You have that mutual destruction thing going on, you know. There's so many thousands of nuclear weapons in the world nowadays. Everyone's got a bomb, it seems. And I wouldn't be surprised if Iran has a bomb, you know, because the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, when they broke up, they were hard strapped for money. You know, and I know they were selling some of their nuclear weapons because they cost a lot of money, you know, and they sell. On the black market, you could sell a nuclear weapon for millions of dollars. Iran, as you know, has a lot of oil. Now, them making their own nuclear weapons and learning how to, you know, create a nuclear bomb, that's something perhaps they haven't done and are working on, but in my opinion, they have nuclear weapons, just like North Korea has them. But they know how to, you know, nuclear fission and all that stuff, and enriched plutonium and uranium, nuclear reactors all around the world, you know, they're very popular as a way to produce electricity. Anyway, don't be fooled by what people tell you. They thought that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and that's why we invaded them, because Colin Powell went to the United Nations. He went to the United Nations and said, our intelligence tells us that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, so we're going to invade them. And they did, only to find out, what? They didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. So don't believe what people tell you, my friends. Keep an open mind. Think of the logic in that. You know, the former Soviet Union, when they disbanded, you know, they had all these different countries, they all had nuclear weapons, they needed money. What a better way to make money than to sell a nuclear weapon to a country? But fortunately, nothing has happened. And I'm just speaking the truth, my friends. I hope and I pray that we don't destroy ourselves, because it won't be good for our eternal souls to know that we lived here on a planet that survived for many years that we could learn to love each other, but we didn't, it would be a stain on our evolution. That's why it behooves each and every one of us to do your best, make the world a better place where we can learn to love each other, just like Jesus taught us 2,000 years ago. Love your neighbor. Well, after 2,000 years, my friends, how do you think we're doing? Have we begun loving our neighbors anymore? Let me tell you a secret, how to love your neighbor. You know how? I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? But you have to be brave enough and strong enough to do this. And I don't think some people are. Are you brave and strong enough to pray every day, to have a relationship with the Creator and Mother and Father God and whoever else you want to pray to? If you want to pray to Jesus, that's fine. If you want to pray to Buddha or Muhammad, build your relationship with them by constantly praying to them, putting your faith into the fact that they exist. Every prayer is a testament to faith, strengthening your faith. And having a relationship with that higher power behooves anybody, because things go better with God or whomever that higher power you want to call. And how am I doing on time? I'm getting close to the end here, my friend. So let me, 2.5 minutes. Thank you. So first of all, do you know who you're praying to, what they look like? If you pray to God, what does God look like? We are created in the image of God. We know that. The Bible says that. It's one of the things that I know is true from the Bible. We are actually created in the image of the Mother and Father God. We are actually their spirit siblings. Think of them as being about the size of a house, two-story house. Native spirit, you know what spirit looks like in the movie Ghost? You know, kind of like white outline, but powerful, with brimming, emanating energy and power. I mean, real, real power, whooshing and just taking in and putting out power, kind of like a factory, and a mind in the center that you can communicate with telepathically. They're out there, and they have that omnipotent, omniscient power to help you in any way you need it, not so much what you want. So typical prayer, and I know I like to pray. I pray to the Mother and Father God sometimes, but I also pray directly to the Creator of the universe, who is like the Aurora Borealis, with all the colors of the rainbow, a huge, huge, tremendously huge energy field emanating with an electrical beam kind of like on the inside. And I would say something like, Creator of the universe, thank you for this beautiful world that you helped create. We are your children. Please bless us and help us. Guide us in the ways of righteousness. Help us to find peace, to learn to love each other, to treat our fellow human beings with dignity and respect. We thank you for all that you've done. We love you. And we know that you love us and you know us intimately. Please continue to bless us and help us to be a better world and to do your will for the universe, for your personal growth, in Jesus' name and everyone's name, amen.